BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. Betonline.ag, where the game starts.
Boom.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Meg Robinson, joined as always by Eve Potoba and Justin Southwell. And guys, it's been a slow news week, so we thought we'd bring on a special guest, former OSU or OSU alum, Shamil Gary.
Let's freaking go.
What a stud.
Yeah.
Welcome to the pod.
Glad to be here with two former teammates. That's awesome right now.
Yeah, I love it. Yo, if y'all don't know about Shamil, let me just tell y'all something. This dude was at... We were teammates at Oklahoma State, went on, what was it, the Minnesota Vikings, the Chicago Bears, the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, right? Whenever you were in Miami, I was also working at Miami, so we were there at the same time. We weren't even that close while we were in college. We ended up getting close while down in Miami, and now I probably talk to you like every 3 hours. So
yeah. It's almost to the point where, you know, Don thinks you're, you know, cheating on her with me, you know?
Don will be my wife. Yeah. Things are, yeah. It gets interesting. You know, you're the State Farm guy that I'm talking to on the phone.
Right. It was actually crazy, though. We were having a meeting at the Dolphins because I was at the Dolphins before Eve got there.
Yeah.
We were having a meeting and Caleb Thornhill, which was the director of player development, introduced, hey, we have someone coming in to help with director or player development. And I look to the right, and it's Eve Potoba. I'm like, what in the world? He's following me right now. But, no, Eve's the man, though. So,
hey, who wouldn't want to be around Shamil?
Yeah. So, Shamil, you actually started your career at Wyoming, though, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were an All-American as a freshman, if I did my research right. But then you transferred after your sophomore season to Oklahoma State. What made you want to come on down to Stillwater?
You know, I we could keep it hot. I probably won't keep it all the way hot, but basically, so my freshman year was good, sophomore year was good, and then I just had a couple of things happen to mess with my mental health, my emotional health, and all that stuff right there. And you know, just to be transparent, you know, I had some stuff going on at home, and then you know, I had a difficult situations at school with the girl I was dating, and then decided to transfer and get closer to home. And the crazy part is, you know, you transfer from being a freshman All-American to starting 2 years to, you know, leading tackles. And, you know, I probably would have broke the record for tackles at Wyoming if I would have stayed all 4 years, but that didn't happen. And then to no one wanting you.
Wow.
when it was time to transfer, shoot, D1 AA's didn't even want me. And so I walked on to Oklahoma State, and they said, you know, since I can't play that year, they'll give me a scholarship the next year. But, you know, colleges, they lie. So but they honored what they said, and I ended up getting a scholarship the following year. But yeah, so that's the main reason why I transferred.
That's pretty crazy. So you talk about a crazy story. You said you came back closer to home because you're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. The majority of our listeners are from the state of Oklahoma. I'm really curious to know, Shamil, like, you're coming out of Booker T. Washington High School. I was at the combine last week, ran into a couple guys that went to Booker T. Washington High School.
They hit me up too.
And I asked him, I was like, y'all know Shamil Gary? He was like, Shamil, of course. He's one of ours, man. He's one of ours. So I'm talking to him. I'm like, so now I'm curious to know, what was it like getting recruited out of Tulsa, Oklahoma? Why didn't you come to Oklahoma State?
I love Oklahoma State, but they don't do the greatest job of recruiting, you know, the in-state guys. They want to go for the people in Texas, and they think, you know, Texas people are better than Oklahoma people, but they're not. You know,
it is a superior state.
Oh Lord, here goes Eve. Coming out, I was an underdog, though, to be honest with you. I didn't start until my junior year. I started at quarterback, lost my position after like two games. And then I didn't play another down until my senior year. And so kind of recruiting was slow. Luckily, you know, we won state my senior year and we had 11 people go D1. And so luckily we had colleges kind of like rolling in, looking at other people. And by them looking at other people, I kind of flashed on the screen for them. And so my first scholarship was Air Force, and I didn't have good enough grades to get into the Air Force Academy. So I had to do like the JV prep academy, something like that. Yeah. I didn't want to go to Air Force anyway. And in my last game, I got a scholarship to the University of Wyoming, and I went from like linebacker to safety. So that's kind of how that happened right there. But Booker T, best high school in the state of Oklahoma, best high school in the nation. Look it up. NBA players, NFL players, the baddest band in the land, actors, news reporters. If you want me to keep going, I can keep going. We just have it all, though, at Booker T.
Yeah. Justin, do you have something to say about that?
I was going
to
say, Justin might have some input there.
I mean, yeah, Oklahoma, we produce some great stuff. I'm not going to lie. Now, I know that, like you said, Shamil, they like to go to Texas, that greater talent pool, because there's a lot more population. But when it comes down to it, the percentage in Oklahoma, it's a little bit higher, in my opinion. And like you said, I mean, at safety even, you remember D'Lo, he's from Oklahoma as well. So, I mean, we got the guys in-house too, but they could maybe do a little bit better job of finding the diamonds in the rough like yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you were in this era right now, Shamil, with the transfer portals, with NIL, how do you think that would have impacted, one, your decision, right, as you were getting recruited, but also, two, how do you think you would have fared as far as just, hey, hitting the transfer portal after Wyoming and, you know, getting recruited by some of these schools?
Man, I probably would have stayed at Wyoming, to be honest with you. Like you got to be honest with yourself and realistic. Like, one, when I was at Wyoming, Tashawn Gibson, he's still playing in the NFL. Chris Brzezinski, he played like 8 years in the NFL. Marcel Gibson, he had a tryout and played, I don't know if he made practice squad or whatever, but my freshman year, it was NFL, 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 and then I went to the NFL. So, like, why would I leave if I saw, like, the blueprint of the whole secondary going to the NFL? You know what right. I mean? The only reason why I left was if I could tell any young person, look yourself in the mirror and figure out, you know, how to deal with your emotions and how to deal with your mental, because you need mental toughness to deal with each scenario in your life. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, if you just stay at one spot and learn the system, learn the playbook, you'll put yourself in a situation where you can make plays when it is your time, because now you know the system like the back of your hand. But once you transfer, you got to learn a whole nother system, new teammates, new environment, and you can't really play as freely as you would like.
Yeah. See, I love that too, because I feel like what we're seeing today is a lot of people just thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And for you, maybe Wyoming is like where the green grass is. And not to say that Oklahoma State isn't that. I mm-hmm. know that you had a great career there. But there's something to be said, like, you know, on the other side of the, you know, transfer portal, maybe it's not like the best case scenario for people right. to leave all the time. And I'm curious to see, like, when this all kind of shakes out, like, if there are going to be more people that will come forward and say, you know what, maybe I should have stayed at Oklahoma State or mm-hmm. whatever the case is.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're bringing that up now.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's studies though, like most people that enter the transfer portal don't even get picked up, and then they end up on the street, you know, not doing anything. And so, but the main thing, keep the main thing the main thing. Let's be honest. Most college athletes aren't going to the NFL. Get your degree. Get the school paid for. Like, what are we doing? And I get it. Like, a lot of times me and Eve talk about this a lot. Like, your identity is so wrapped up into the game. That's all you can see. And that you have these blinders on. And it's like play or nothing. Well, man, that scholarship isn't guaranteed anyway. So get your bachelor's, get your master's. My guy Patrick Fields, shout out to Patrick Fields. I'm not gonna say how much he saved, but by him, you know, saving his Pell Grant, man, he has more savings than most adults. Like, and I'm talking about, you know, in between the $10,000 and $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 savings out of fresh out of college. And so he was able to get his bachelor's, get his master's at OU, get his master's at Stanford. You know what I mean? Like, now he's set up for, you know, the future. So,
and he's a Booker T. Washington guy too, right?
No, he's not Booker T. He wish he was, but he went to Union. Gotcha. He went to Union. Yeah.
But I think that also just so many players, we've talked about this on previous episodes with the portal, is that they've never faced adversity in their life because they've always been the top guy. So the second they face any sort of adversity or aren't the day one starter, it's like, I'm transferring, but it's like, maybe you need to ride it out because you could learn. I mean, look at the Alabama receiver room for the last couple of years, you know, like Devontae Smith sat behind Calvin Ridley and Henry Ruggs, and you won Heisman. You know, sometimes it is good to wait your turn, and he's, you know, played in the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. In the league. Like,
hey, that's what I said about this group of OK State guys. I said, those who stay will be champions.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, with that being said, you know, and I've given a presentation to the OK State football team, too, about how much money they could save all 4 years. This was before NIL, by the way. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why a guy shouldn't have at least $30,000 saved up by the time he graduates university. I've seen as north as $70,000, right, from people in Auburn, from people in Clemson. But I will add, what's so interesting about this time of the year right now is, you know, it's the off season. It's spring ball. One of the greatest parts, though, about being a part of a university and having a home is that you have an alumni base. You know, like, you have an alumni base. You know, the spring game is going to be happening. Fans are going to be coming in town. Alumni are going to be coming in. But if you're able to tap into that network and use it appropriately, my goodness, you have family for the rest of your life. Right. If you actually know how to actually navigate that area. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that so many people end up on the street because they thought that the grass was greener on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. But it's a lack of mentorship, though. I mean, if we're being honest, like, how many guys have people who have done it already? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you need mentors to kind of like tell you, hey, you may need to stick this out, or this place isn't, you know, they don't have the best interest, so you may need to transfer. But a lot of times they're making decisions off of feelings, you know, and feelings come and go.
Yeah.
So I think more people need to have like mentorship, but you talk about that networking, you know, you don't know what you don't know at the same time. So
I'd also like to say, Eve brought up the spring game. There is no spring game this year. Breaking news. There is no spring game this year because there is not adequate field space in BPS due to the ongoing construction. However, there is a meet and greet with players from 1:30 to 2 on Saturday, April 15th at the Sherman E. Smith Training Center. So be sure to get your 4 second hello in and
zoom on in.
Along.
That's funny.
Yeah. But no spring
game. For real though. I know like 30 minutes, that doesn't seem like a lot of time, but, As a player, I remember, like, I really did enjoy whenever I got to, you know, shake hands, sign autographs with those kids. I know that means a lot to them. So I know a lot of those players are going to enjoy that, even though it's, you know, not very much time.
Look, I think it is a great thing. And I know how much, I mean, especially when you live in Stillwater, like, the players on this team are your heroes. They are your idols. And I think it's awesome that they're doing a meet and greet, but give fans more than 30 minutes. Like, that's literally a hello, or like, are we going to pre-sign autographs, pass out papers? Like, take an hour have players make it a 2-hour window and say, you can meet these, like, players are coming in shifts. I don't know. I don't know.
They should do like a training camp, like one-on-ones or,
go to the indoor facility or something,
you know, something like that. Like some one-on-one or something. Yeah.
But,
they should do that. You know,
I know.
Yeah, we'll be on the event planning committee next year.
Deion Sanders will probably do it. Like, you know.
They talked about that before. Hey, Shamil, interested to know, man, you were a part of some of the winningest teams in school history. You were a starter there for multiple years. You had a really great time and experience at Oklahoma State. What are some of your favorite memories while being a player there?
Man, I'd probably say the first favorite memory is, you know, you go from the University of Wyoming. Yeah, I was playing. But then you, like, go to Oklahoma State and the facility is, like, way better.
Way better.
You know.
And they're just about to get even more dynamic.
Are they?
Oh, you didn't hear about the $325 million plan to renovate the facilities?
I mean, why do they need – okay, what are we renovating, though? Like what's –
oh, wow. You're missing out. What are we renovating? So. Yeah.
What are we renovating? I mean, someone tell me.
Go back and watch episode 28 of the Believe in OSU podcast okay. for a full rundown of the OSU Athletics Vision Plan.
Megan, you're good at this. You're good at this. Okay, I'll go back and watch. But a funny story. I remember I tell my funny – one of my favorite memories of the winningest team. Actually – two things. I remember when I first transferred, Joel Tubman, he was like, because NCAA 2010, I was, so back when college football was a video game, it's not anymore, but I was like the impact player with the star 1 year, and then I came in, and Joel Tubman, I guess he like looked me up, he was like, okay, Mr. Impact Player, right? Yeah. And I was working out with Eve, and we were doing pull-ups. And he was like, you see those lats right there? That's the type of lats you need to get. And so ever since then, I've been trying to chase Eve with the physique my entire life now. But
hey, keep striving, young buck. You'll get there one day.
I'm trying, man. And I ran into Brandon Whedon. His son and my daughter go to the same elementary school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But favorite memory was the year I didn't play, actually, was with Justin Blackman and Brandon Whedon and Coop. Man, he had some of the greatest routes I've ever seen. Markel, yeah. All of them right there. And going to the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona, that was, like, really cool. And then probably my senior year when we – man, we had a chance to like go undefeated that year. I'm not gonna talk about that too much, but we had a chance to go undefeated. But the last game of the season was like memorable for me, just from the standpoint of like how much back and forth it was between us and Missouri. They had those like basketball team. They had like 6'6" receivers and that all star defensive end. I can't remember his name. He was
Washington. RJ Washington.
No, he came out. Who?
Michael Sam.
Yeah. He was a dog, though. Like, he was a dog. So that's probably some of my favorite memories right there. And then Coach Glass running the dang stadiums. Oh, my goodness.
You know, that 2013 season that you were on, though, like, that defense was kind of the bar up until maybe 2021. That was like, dude, everybody needs to, like, try to get to this level.
No one was giving – like, you know what's so crazy? Like, I see on these – one, I need to get off. I don't know if you guys are on the Facebook Oklahoma State groups or whatever.
Yeah, I am.
don't get off of it. Like, it's toxic. But you don't see anyone, like, give the 2013 defense any credit. All you hear about is – what's his name? He just went to Ohio State, the defense
Knowles.
You just hear about his years, but I'm like 13. We were balling in 13. D'Lo, Lindell, me, Pat, Kevin Peterson. The D line was Sean. Yeah, it was good. That was a good year right there.
Y'all had some guys on that team, no, for sure. Yeah, y'all were definitely balling it. And you know what was so funny? You know, you have your career at Oklahoma State, and you had one of the most insane transformations that I had ever seen on anybody physically. I'm talking about, I showed up for pro day. I was already working in the state of Indiana. I come back for pro day and I see Shamil out there. He's wearing nothing but tights.
Yeah,
okay. And he just looked rock diesel. This dude looked like he was the Incredible Hulk, and he was moving out there with like incredible speed. I was like, what in the world is happening right now? Where did this guy go and train? A whole bunch of guys right now are trying to prepare for pro day. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give them as they're going through this process? And man, what the heck did you do to get your physique to that level?
Man, so you know that same thing you said about me? I said the same thing about Chris Brzezinski, the safety from Wyoming. And so I actually reached out to him because, you know, the whole, you spend a lot of time with someone in the locker room, you know, you shower with guys and all that right there. And, you know, obviously you see their physique, and I'm like, I saw Chris. I'm like, man, he got a six pack. He ran like a low 4.4. I'm like, well, what's going on? He was always fast, but he looked different. So I reached out to him, and he said he went to Tom Shaw in Orlando. I don't know if Tom Shaw is still the same Tom Shaw, but I would say any guy in the future, go to Tom Shaw. He'll get you right. But man, I just didn't want to, I didn't eat any sweets for like 2 months. I didn't eat, you know, I didn't eat out. I cooked every meal. I followed what the nutritionist said. I did extra work when guys were, you always got those guys, you know what I mean? Regardless of how big of an opportunity they have, they're still going to do, they're going to self-sabotage themselves. They're still go out. They're still going to drink. They're not going to take the moment seriously. And so I had roommates, I'm not gonna say their names, but I had roommates that were going out like every other day, you know? And so I just took that moment, those 2 months, like seriously, because at the end of the day, if I didn't make it, I could at least look myself in the mirror and be like, I gave it all I had, you know? And so no sweets, cooked every meal, worked out twice a day, even three times a day. And sure, I got down to like 3% body fat. That's what I would tell guys. Like at the end of the day, you get one shot at this. And you know, Eve, you know this. Shoot, the longer you're out of the league or removed from like college or whatever, though, that's you got a slim window of getting another opportunity. Yeah. So get sleep, take your nutrition seriously, write down your goals, visualize your goals. The new saying today, manifest your goals. Like just speak those goals over yourself every time and do the work. Like don't skip the workouts. Don't play games. You're not there to make friends. Like, take it seriously. And then when it's time to perform, don't think. Turn off your brain and do what you're supposed to be doing. So that's the advice I would give anyone who's doing a pro day, you know. And then make sure after the pro day, too, talk to as many coaches as you can. And then after that, if you have teammates who are big name guys, keep connected with them, because guess what? They're going to have workouts after their pro day, and you jump in on their workouts as well, because it's another time to get seen by, because they're going to bring in like, man, Justin Gilbert, he had a workout with the Atlanta Falcons. He texted me, oh, Shamil, I got to work out. Okay, bet, I'm there. Hey, can I work out with you guys? Yes. All right, cool.
That is a pro tip. I've actually never heard anybody say that before. That's some good advice right there.
That's such good advice.
Yeah, so hop in on all the workouts as you can, because you'll never know, man. Like they're there to see someone else, but like you flash and you got good footwork and you catch the ball or whatever it is, you know? So,
man, I tried to do that myself, and I reached out to Lucian Antoine. He's like, man, I don't know. Like you got to be able to keep up, and I don't think you can keep up. So I was like, well, fair enough, but I missed out. I could be looking like Lucian right now. You know?
Hey, Lucian was an animal, bro. He was a beast. Yeah. Hey, Shamil, what do you think you did that impressed teams the most during pro day?
Man, my physique, you know what I mean? Okay, outside of like what I did, you know, footwork drills and things like that, my agent told me, because he talked to, you remember him, what was the defensive coordinator from the Dolphins?
The DC from the
black dude.
Not Vance Joseph.
Yeah, Vance Joseph. He was with the Bengals. And my agent asked him, hey, what do you think about my guy? He was like, which one's your guy? And he was like, the one with his shirt off. He was like, the guy that was ripped up? He was like, yeah, that's my guy. And so, you know, just the appearance of how I looked made a first impression. And then I think I ran faster than what a lot of guys thought I was going to run. So that helped. And then I had – you know, I've always worked on my footwork. So I think like me just going through the drills and doing the footwork and being able to flip my hips and all that. I dropped one ball, which kind of broke my heart. But yeah, I think the footwork and me running faster than what they thought I was going to run, which we're not track athletes. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. Like there's this big fuss about Anthony Richards. Is that his name? The quarterback?
Anthony Richardson.
Man, I don't care if he runs a 4.4. Can he read a defense? Like, what is his film look
I've
like?
I seen him last week, guys. Like, what are the tangible things from a pro day that you think really matter?
Because, well, just to give you some context about some guys even that are at Oklahoma State, right? We had two guys go to the combine. Yeah, Tyler mm-hmm. Lacy. Yeah, Jason Taylor II. Tyler mm-hmm. Lacy had the second highest reps on the bench for his position group, mm-hmm. but he also had the slowest 40 time in his group. So, like, what tangible things, as Megan said, do you think really, really matter in this case?
I mean, I think it depends on position, right? Like, we shouldn't be in awe about a quarterback running super fast. Unless, like, when Lamar came out, right, he did some electric things, you know, in college. So his film, we wanted to see, like, what he ran, because on his film, he was running away from a lot of people. Like, I don't know if Anthony Richardson, like, I went back and watched his highlights and things like that. Like, he was running away from people, but that wasn't really his game, right? So that stuff really doesn't matter. But as a DB, you know, I think the footwork drills – matter as far as like you being able to turn your hips, come out of your breaks fast, all that. I think jumping matters as a DB and as a receiver. But still, I think, like, you know, a lot of scouts say you watch the 40, but then you go back and watch the film, because you got some guys who run really fast, but they're not running away from no one, right? But then you take a guy like Josh Stewart, I don't know, whenever he came out, he ran slow as all get out on his combine.
He ran a 4.7.
But when it came to playing football, like, he was a football player. And I think sometimes you get caught up in, like, these times, but, like, he was a dog. Yeah. And he didn't really – I know he got hurt or whatever, but he didn't really get the opportunity he should have got. But positional drills, to answer the question, positional drills and 40 times for skill players, and then, like, O-linemen. I don't know if 40 really – I don't know why we're running for 40s for them. But I just think positional drills, honestly, and then you go back and watch the tape. That's my opinion.
That's fair. I mean, because I just think about, you know, Tyler Lacy running a 5.1 was it? And then you see, like, Nolan Smith running a 4.39, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's tough. Like, how do you – it's so hard because you are being compared against those other people in your position group. Yeah. But if Tyler Lacy's putting up 30 on the bench, I don't know what Nolan Smith got on that, but just, like, it's kind of that, I mean, I guess also for Tyler going into pro day, like, how, you know, should he run the 40 again? Should he just be like, whatever, I'm going to ball out on these other things? Like, what would your advice be in that situation?
Is Tyler Lacy a defensive end? I'm so sorry. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Who
is. Defensive end and a rusher.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably run the 40. You run a 5.1, I would probably run a 40 again, just to get it a little bit lower, at least like a 4.8, 4.7, you know, something like that. Because you almost have to run. I mean, I'm knocking all these things, but you have, it's part of the system. So you have to, like, do well within the system or whatever. So I will run a 40 again.
And a lot of scouts will look at it as more of just an effort thing, right? They're like, how serious is this to him? You know, how important is this to him? Like, if I'm a DB and I bench press 20 reps, that's not really going to come in handy in football. But they say this is a guy that takes the approach seriously, yeah, right? Yeah, and some of these scouts, like the good scouts in the NFL are actually pretty ridiculous about how, like, they know exactly what your 40 time is going to be just by watching your game film. They're like, yeah, that guy's going to run a 4.46. And then he goes out there and runs a 4.46. Mm-hmm. Or they know how athletic you are based on how, whenever you hit the ground, how soon do you get back up? Like, little things that they look at. And the senior scouts that have been doing this thing, you know, for 30 years, they don't even trust the laser times. They're like, no, I trust my own thumb more than I trust this other stuff. Like, it's actually pretty ridiculous how this other stuff works. If you were going back now, would you have done something differently, given that you said for those 2 months you were really concentrated, you were taking things seriously and all that? Do you think you could have done what you did in those 2 months over the span of 4 years as a football player in college?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
No sweets?
No, from the standpoint of, like, I could have did it because, you know, you get an off season. So if you take, you know, after the season, you take about 2-3 weeks and do what you're supposed to be doing as far as, like, just eat whatever you want to eat, take some time away, and then you hit it back hard. I think I could have did it that way. It was I didn't do it that way. First of all, like, I didn't do any of this in college. Like, no one, hopefully, I think they have a nutritionist now at Oklahoma State. But yeah. Oklahoma State, when we were there, we didn't have a nutritionist. So no one really taught me what to put in my body, how much I should drink. You remember at the Dolphins, you know, after practice, we're immediately taking a shake. We're getting on a scale. Depending on how much we lost, we know how much water we need to drink. Like at Oklahoma State, you weighing and you just going about the day, right?
Sports science has come a long way.
But those Gatorade protein shakes in the cans were like,
oh man, those are so good.
Like those are so good.
See, I don't know how y'all drank that. That tore my stomach up.
Oh, I loved it. Like, I loved it. My nutritionist was a person behind the counter at Chipotle. Like, that's who I depended on.
Well, yeah, I did. We all had the same body fat then, you know, because we didn't have a nutritionist, you know. So
no doubt.
But, you know, to say that, I probably wouldn't have. I didn't do this in the NFL, though. You know, we had all the stuff and I just struggled with eating, though. So if I could have been a little bit more disciplined throughout my career, I probably would have I wouldn't have faced some of the injuries that I faced towards my senior year and throughout the NFL and all that. Yeah. Guys, take care of your body. The best ability you have is your availability. Man, you can't make the club in the tub. Isn't that the saying?
What is it?
I haven't heard that, but it can be now.
You can't make the club in the tub. That's the you never heard that?
No, I haven't. That's a new one.
That's a new one for me. Slacking, man. It's like a NFL 101 right there.
Yeah, my bad. Well, I mean, look, man.
We made it to the NFL, Shamil. It's not our fault.
He was there, you know. Okay, this is my last thing, though. I'm sorry, guys. But you take
– You're good, bro. Hey, we have you as a guest for a reason.
But what I would say to guys, though, whenever it is time for you to get drafted, if I could do it all over again, like, don't think so much. Just be present and be in the moment and let your body, like, trust that you're going to do the right thing. Like, you did all that work. It's almost, I saw this story, this little short story, basically. It was like this family or this little village, they prayed for rain and one person came out with an umbrella, right? Because he had faith. But a lot of guys, you know, that we do all this work, but then we go out on the football field and we hesitate. You know, like, what's the point of doing all that work if you're not going to trust the work that you put in over the offseason? And so that's what I would tell the guys, like, when it's time to do your pro day, when it's time to play football, trust the work that you put in the 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. And, you know, I think it's pretty astonishing that I did make it to the NFL because I played my entire career hesitating. Like, I was afraid to make a mistake. And so I think it's pretty shocking that I made it as far as I did because I was always afraid to get pulled out of the game, right? And so I think the guys that I've been around that were star players, they didn't have that fear. It's kind of like
Rashad Jones,
Jarvis Landry, you know, Cam Wake, like those guys right there, they just played. If they made Brent Grimes, he was a perfect example. And I've seen that guy do some immaculate, crazy. He's the most athletic guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, one of the most athletic people you'll ever meet in your life, Brent Grimes, cornerback.
Man, but he just played though, right? And so I would just tell guys like, hey, just be in the moment. And then when it's time to get drafted, if you don't get drafted, man, just work. And don't worry about this cliche saying, just control what you can control. Like,
yeah,
that sounds so simple, but simple isn't easy. And if the guys can just control what they can control and not worry about what the coach is thinking about them, not worrying about the numbers. Okay, there's. I know he's going to make it. I know he's going to make it right here. I know he's going to make it. Okay, where am I at? Just play, man. And good things happen from just being, like, in the moment.
Yeah, I know a lot of coaches would say, like, if you're going to mess up, make sure that you're doing it 100% effort.
Right.
So kind of falls in line with that thought that you had.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times we go about 80. Oh, my bad. I got like 10,000 thoughts like running through my mind.
Let them all out.
But I think we sabotage ourselves. What's his name? John Jones. I saw the crazy. He's the GOAT. The
UFC
right?
fighter.
UFC fighter John Jones, he said on Joe Rogan's podcast that to give himself an excuse, he would go out the week before his fights and get slammed, like drink and all that other stuff. So if he did lose, he could be like, I can fall back on that right there. But I think we all do that. Like, we don't go 100%. And when we do mess up, we could be like, I wasn't going that hard. But when you give everything you got and you mess up, you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, it just wasn't good enough in that moment. And that's hard. That's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow.
That's deep.
Yeah. I always look at it as like, what's the worst that happens? You know, like if I go all in and I, you know, don't get where I want to go, at least I put everything in and I'm still where I was if I didn't try. So that's just kind of how I approach a lot of things. So
very true.
Not that I'm a professional football player, but I think that just applies for life. And like my coach in college, she always would say to us, like, you're being nervous and being excited are the same emotion. Mm-hmm. Your body is the same. Like, your body reacts the same way for nerves and excitement. So it's just how you channel it and how you program your mind to be like, am I nervous for this moment or am I excited for this moment? And if you kind of look at that, I think that it helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's good perspective right there.
Hey, Megan, we need you to do some sports psychology coaching or something on the football team.
I mean, when I was playing, my thing was always, I just need to touch the ball and then I'm fine. Like, you know, in a big game, like when we were playing in a championship, I'm like, I just need to touch the ball. As soon as I touch the ball, I'm like, it's game time. You got to lock in and play. Don't have time to be nervous. Like, I don't have anything to think. I can't think about anything but playing this game and winning this game. I don't have time to be like, what if I mess up? No, just do it. Touch the ball and I'm fine.
What'd you play?
I played lacrosse.
Oh, that's tough right there. That ball is hard and small. I don't know how you guys do it. Yeah. What's his name?
Lacrosse is no joke.
Yeah. What's his name play lacrosse for the New England Patriots?
Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
He's a lacrosse player.
Yeah. He was a good athlete, too.
One of your former teammates, right?
But what is he doing now? Did he go back and play professional lacrosse or something like that?
I think he did. He actually might have, now that you mention it. I feel like I saw something that he was in, like, the PLL or NLL or
which, by the way, Shamil, Megan's a big New England Patriots fan. Just
really?
So she was able to call that out right away.
Yeah, Chris Hogan, man. He was a man. I like him. Man, I went back to the Patriots in 2016. So I went there my rookie year, but then I went back 2016. And it was fun going back because I did a workout with them. And my ball skills got a lot better within those 2 years and flipping hips and all that good stuff. But we went to practice one day. Two stories. One, the DB coach, I don't know where he's at now. I can't remember his name, but he was a douchebag.
It's a family show.
He was cool people at the same time. He was a douchebag. But we would do this drill where to warm up, you know, they would basically throw the ball to a corner, and then you would have to rally to wherever the ball was thrown, basically. Like, you would go score with that guy, block, and set up the blocks and all that. Like, the Pacers are very meticulous in everything that they did. But now it's my turn to go up, and I'm at safety, and I swear he was doing it on purpose. It was cover three. I would drop to the middle of the field, and he would throw the ball as far as he could, and I'm running. I'm like, damn, I can't get to this. So we would have to do it again until someone like catches the ball. And instead of him going to someone else, he threw the ball as far as he could 5 times in a row. Like, it was the most, finally I was just like, man, this is some bull crap. But finally I lined up like 20 yards deep and I just took off running and I finally got it the sixth time. But that same,
he throws a screen pass underneath. And you're like, what the heck?
That's the type of stuff he would do, though. Like, seriously, I was like, come on, man. But it was another practice or whatever. Jimmy Garoppolo was there still, and he tried to look me off, and I speed turned around, and I got to Chris Hogan, and I went up to, like, pick the ball off, and I think it was the office of PI, but he caught the ball at the end of the day. So I'm not going
to –
it was very
– just like a DB, you got to blame the OPI for it.
Yeah, it was a PI. I think it was.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo as handsome in person as
he's a good-looking man?
The answers to Eve.
Yeah, these are the hard-hitting questions we need to know.
He's a good looking man, though. Yeah, we came in the same year. We were in the same rookie class. He's a charming, good looking man. Tom Brady's, you know, a charming, good looking man too as well. Shout out to Tom Brady. He the suitcase that I lug around is from the gift that he gave the entire team. So
nice.
Shout out Tom Brady. But do you guys think what's his name is going to get drafted? Jason Taylor, Oklahoma guy.
Oh, he had a great combine. You know, not only were you an All-American, you also had a great game at the Senior Bowl. Mm. And then you go out with that combine performance. I think he gets drafted without a doubt. I don't think there's any question about it. He's getting drafted.
Yeah.
What round?
I would say, if I had to guess, fifth round.
Yeah, I'll probably give him like third through fifth, somewhere around there. Because you never know. All you need is like one team to like you, and so. Yeah. Have you don't ever know like how where they have you on the board or whatever. The only knock I have, which I need to reach out to him after saying this because I don't want it to be like I'm talking bad about him or whatever. But the only knock, I just wish he would shore up his tackling. He just misses too many tackles for me because I think a lot of college guys do it. Instead of like breaking down and running through someone, they kind of just like shoot their shot. And if they hit them, they hit them. But if they miss – they miss. I think they miss more times than I just wish he would. He has great ball skills, fast. He's very rangy, but just wish he would be more of a sure tackler.
Yeah, I wish more safeties would have missed tackles against me in practice. Like everybody turns into an NFL all-star against me. I don't understand why.
Yo, I will never forget that time that Markell was about to light you up. Was it Markell? Yeah.
Oh, maybe. It was either him or Johnny Thomas.
Oh, Johnny Thomas. He should have been in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Thomas would have been a good – yeah, he would have been a good player in the league.
But, he's doing like UFC or something, or fighting, something like that.
That's another story.
Yeah, for another day. Yeah. Who hit you, though? My bad. I just, like, interrupted that whole thing right there. I want to know.
I mean, were you talking about what were you thinking?
No, I just remember watching it and somebody was coming full speed like a torpedo at you. And I think they just like grazed you. They barely missed you. But I remember thinking to myself, if that would have made contact, you would have been in concussion protocol, like without a doubt.
Oh, no. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. The time that I was thinking of, we had a design where we were supposed to crack block on the safety and I was like supposed to go up and block Johnny. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. Like, are you kidding me? And he's like, you know, so I come up on him like I'm going to, and then he sees me out of the corner. He's like, you know, he's like getting ready to, and we both kind of let up at the same time. And he's like, I know like you care about our health and stuff. Right. He's like, don't worry, Johnny, I'm not going to try to hit you. Cause if I did, and they called duo, I'm dead. So I didn't try. It.
Yeah. What's so interesting about, you know, whenever you're a former football player, you still want to find an avenue. You want to find a lane where you can still let out like physical aggression, especially if you can do it on another human being, right? Like Shamil, you're really into MMA right now, right?
No, not MMA. I don't want to get punched, but jiu-jitsu.
My bad.
Yeah. That's my outlet now. I like waking up in the morning and choking people and trying to do some ankle locks and some knee bars and all that. Actually, you know, if people want to check out the YouTube at some point in time, there's a 16-year-old phenom who I'm going to, every time he taps me, I'm gonna give him $50. And he's an animal. So, and he's 16 years old and he weighs 115 pounds, 20 pounds. Jet Thompson. That's the power of jiu-jitsu. So I encourage everyone, go do some jiu-jitsu.
Bro, you're out here getting tapped out by somebody who weighs 100 pounds less than you.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic, you know, but like, it has taught me to have no ego. So when people cut me off in traffic, I don't flip them off anymore. You know, I just have I have more patience because, you know, my ego isn't tied up into that type of stuff anymore, you know?
Maybe I should try jiu-jitsu because I get heated. It's that, you know. I lived in Massachusetts for 3 years. I lived in Connecticut for 10. Like,
y'all just angry up there for no reason.
We are New England drivers. It's just like, get out my way.
Yeah, you just get tapped out by a 12-year-old. I promise you, the ego will all the anger will go away immediately.
Yeah. Or it would just get worse, you know, but I think we should just take a group outing to a rage room. That's high on my list of things to do.
That's the stuff where you just hit furniture?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. No, I'd rather do a jujitsu.
But no, they say though, if you're like already angry and you're like naturally angry, I don't think that helps the rage room. I think that's what they said. I don't know if that's actually
only one way to find out.
Yeah. Is everyone in Dallas? I don't know where everyone. I know Eve's in Dallas. Where are you guys at?
OKC.
Oh, what the heck?
Stillwater. Woo!
I'm the only person in Texas in this call. Therefore. Y'all are beneath me.
Technically, that's we're not above
true. You. Yeah, we're above you, but like, you know, that was
above you.
Yeah.
You know, I stand corrected.
Not you're just talking on screen because your window is above everybody except me.
I'll take that.
That layout.
Okay, well, this is my last thing. I don't know. What do you guys normally talk about, though, on here? I need to watch some episodes. I feel bad. I didn't do any research.
Yeah, you should go back and watch it.
What do you guys normally talk about, though? Is it like Oklahoma State, I'm assuming, right? And the news of Oklahoma State and all that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. After we get done here, we go into some of the news and notes, things that are happening around OK State.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, you know, give our thoughts and opinions there.
In season, reacting to games.
Preview. Yeah, game reactions, game previews.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uniform review. Of course, you know, we got to get some uniform love in there.
Right.
This
right.
is actually really good for first-time listeners. I hope that, you know, y'all are getting a real summary of what Believe in OK State
is. This is good, actually. Yeah, yeah, okay.
A lot of times we'll compare, like, what we're doing now to what we did when we were back in the day.
Right.
Talking about uniforms a lot.
So we got some, you know, good stories that pop up every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last week we discussed what we think we could run a 40 in if we went out tomorrow. What do you think, Shamil, that you could run a 40 if you went out tomorrow?
This is actually funny because, you know, I was on the phone with Eve 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this must have been like 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, something like that. And this is probably the heaviest I've ever been. I'm like 228. I play football at like 205 or whatever, 208. And I told him, I was like, man, I think I could run easily a 4.6. Like,
easily. Like right there.
Yeah, he's like, no, Shamil, I'll give you like a 5 flat, 4.9, 4.8. I'm like, dude, you're being disrespectful right now. But he even said he thinks he'll run like a 5 flat. But I asked him a question. I said, Eve, who was faster? He said me. So why are we both running the same 5 flats?
Look, man, you weigh way more than you did whenever you played. Yeah, I weigh around the same. I'm like the same weight that I did. Now, I mean, with that being said, we talk about the fastest. Speed is the fastest thing that goes, right? So Oklahoma State right now is in the process of developing a health and performance center right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should be the ones that give you this information so that it's more believable. So it's not coming from me. But I'm telling you right now, bro. If you run a 4.6, I will be thoroughly, thoroughly impressed.
No, that's not the deal. We made a deal, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to say it on air right now. The deal was he has to apologize to me for saying some nonsense like that. So I'm going to run a 4.6. I haven't, Justin, actually, you need to come out to Deer Creek, okay?
All right.
And you're going to time me. And I'm gonna run a 4.6, okay? And it doesn't matter what the 4.6 is. 4.6, 9, 9, 5,
just in the 4.6 range, yeah.
4.6. Deal?
I'm gonna get the stopwatch ready.
There we need go. To get a video of a phone or something for video proof as well.
Yeah, I think I got a 4.6 in me. I've been running on the track here lately. I got a jiu-jitsu tournament coming up, so you know, I've been working on it, Eve. So.
Hey, I'm glad you believe in yourself so much. As for me, Tyler Lacey's running faster than me right now. Like, no doubt about it. I ain't cracking a flat 5.
I said 6.5, so, you know.
What did you say, Justin?
Did I say anything? I don't know. I just pride comes before the fall, and I think that if I said a number, I would probably just fall on my face. So,
Bro, you got to give us a number.
Yeah, I give him a number, yeah.
Well, if I had to, I guess I'd say 4.9. I feel like I would have to crack 5 just to be able to
like 5, really? You know what I mean? That's like really slow.
Like, yeah, really. I just don't sprint. Like, how often do you go out and just run?
It is, well, it is, but I think that if you were able to get 5 flat in a 40, I think that you're hitting like at least 15 or 16 miles an hour, which I still feel like that's pretty fast.
Could not be me.
You guys have those curved treadmills?
I hate them. God, I hate them. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, you guys should just go over there and test your speed out right there, right? Real quick question though: top three jerseys. What's your top three? Have you guys did that already?
Oh yeah, we had a whole uniform.
We had Justin Williams on and talked to uniforms for.
If you watch our show,
well, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna go. We're on 29 right now. I'm gonna go back to one and watch them all.
All right,
give a review.
So, are you talking about like top three uniform combos?
Yeah, uniform combos. What'd you guys say?
Black, orange.
Black, orange. Okay.
Yeah, black, orange, mm-hmm. All black, and then probably
all white.
I was gonna say white, orange, white for that classic look, mm-hmm. but I also can see like black, orange, black.
I mean, everybody's number one are the throwbacks, right? The 1988.
Yeah, that doesn't count though. It's like
we don't even count those because that's everybody's favorite.
But you don't have the all whites in there?
Favorite. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on it.
All whites are decent. I mean, so like whenever you say all white, then you have to pick what your favorite helmet is with it. So is it the orange logo? Is it the black logo? I think you had that helmet in the background, right? With the black stripe and the
black OS logo. That's my favorite helmet right there.
I like that helmet a lot. Yeah.
But what about – I think they stopped doing it. I did like the – I don't know what helmet we wore with it, but it was like the gray and white pants. I like that combo right there.
Well, I remember 2010, we wore gray, black, gray. It was like the carbon fiber gray almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that one was hard.
Oh, 2011 when we played Kansas State?
It was 2011. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot Jess is an encyclopedia when it comes to that.
Like 2010, we had gray. What did I miss?
But I think I like the gray, white, orange, white.
Yeah,
that's a good combo.
So that was the I think the first time we had it was against TCU? Baylor in 2012.
Oh. Okay, never mind.
And then I think they won one more time against West Virginia in 2015.
2012, was that the year they had he shook me out my pants. If I'm thinking correctly, Lanche C. Strunk or whatever his name was.
Yeah, that was that year. Yeah,
man,
that guy was a monster.
That's cool. But I got him back though. He made me look silly though. But when he went to the Redskins,
bro, he like pulled his hamstring and still outran our defense.
Yeah, that was. I was really surprised that he didn't make it further in the NFL.
I don't think his style fit. I mean, but you know the NFL though. That's what a lot of guys need to, you know, kind of going back to that topic. But I think a lot of guys need to recognize the NFL. I think Chad Johnson actually said it because he went to playing the CFL for like after his NFL career got done. And he was like, man, I thought it was going to be extremely easy. But once I went to the CFL, I was like, man, there's some guys here. Like, and the NFL is just a numbers game. And so I used to think like if a guy was on a practice squad, he wasn't good. Yeah, he just wasn't good. But like, you gotta fall in the right place at the right time. You need a coach to like you, man. The right system. You need people to go down. Like, I mean, the NFL is 100% like injury rate or whatever. But so you just gotta stay patient. I've seen a lot of guys once they get cut from a team, they just like, okay, I'm gonna go work. Like, but if you like stick it out, you'll find an opportunity. That's kind of how Cam Wake did. But this is when I really knew the NFL was like a numbers game. There's a guy I played with him at Wyoming, Robert Heron. He was killing every last one of our DBs. I'm talking about Jamar, Brent Grimes, Rashad. He was killing them all and didn't play, didn't sniff the field. I'm not just like a little bit, just catching tough balls. I'm talking about guys being way over here and he's way over here. Like he was killing them. Like
killing I remember. And yeah. Well, I remember Rob too, because at the end of the year, I got a photo of him framed and I gave it to him as a gift, just kind of an end of the year gesture thing that I did for all the practice squad players, because I know how hard it is to be on practice squad. And, he and I, we had a pretty good relationship, and he looked at the gift and he just goes, man, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Just put it in the trash can, bro.
Yeah.
It was a huge, like, 8x12. I don't know. I don't even know what it meant.
I mean, I would have took it if I was him, but still, I understand his.
But he hated being on practice squad. But as you said, you're right. It's a numbers game a lot of times.
Yeah, he got drafted though, like fourth round. He played at the. So I don't. I mean, you gotta have. But then once people, that's a tough part about the NFL too, because once you get a label put on you, like it kind of sticks. Like if you're like a special teams guy, it is really hard to not be a special teams guy the rest of your career. Because people will always like look at you like that, even if you made plays on defense. You know what I mean? So like, if you're labeled as like a guy who can't learn the defense, a guy who isn't smart, it's a fraternity. They just like track that throughout your entire career, and it's hard to get outside that box.
Don't knock special teamers. Matthew Slater, one of the greatest of all time.
No, I'm not knocking it. And Matt Slater is.
You're not. I know, but I'm saying you can also. Make your name.
You
for
can
yourself.
Make a good living off of that.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Slater. He's the first gunner I've ever seen have three people block him. Like literally, they put three people on just him.
And I've listened to coaches talk too. If you come out of college running a 4.3, for the rest of your career, you're a 4.3 guy. Like it could be year 13. Yeah, he's a 4.3 guy.
Yeah,
you'll always just be labeled as that.
Yeah, crazy. Those boxes, man. But I mean, Matt Slater. He's still playing now, and he's probably made over. 20 million or easily over 20 million being the special teams guy. That's okay. That's a good topic too. Guys, if you were the starter at your college, please let your ego go and go play some special teams, because the special teams is going to keep you in the league until you get your opportunity to play at whatever position you can. But be an effort guy, okay? Kickoff return, kickoff, punt return, punt. Be a special teams guy, because that's if you're not a first round guy or a second round guy, special team is your way to make the team. All right. That's my news. I tried to be Megan in that moment right there.
Is that your impression of me? But no,
I didn't do a very good job.
Hey, you're on a roster. Who cares if it's special teams, offense, or defense? You're on a roster. You can make an impact. We've seen it in Oklahoma State games, like our special teams this year. They were the difference maker in some games. And then why am I blanking on our punter's name? Tom Hutton, when he went down with an injury, like that was a significant, obviously a punter is different. You're solely on special teams, but there's special teams can change games. They really can. Look at the freaking Bills, Nyheim Hines on the Bills. After the DeMar Hamlin game, when he had a kickoff return touchdown and a punt return touchdown. And those were ultimately the difference maker in that game. I know you're not knocking special teams, but I'm doubling down.
No, for sure. I mean, but the thing is, a lot of guys that are playing on special teams in the NFL, a lot of them were starters at their college.
Yeah.
And so from them going, for me, for instance, I only played special teams my freshman year. And then, some of, my junior year in college. But I didn't really play. And you go to the NFL, and you're like, dang, I don't do special teams. You know what I mean? And so you got to kind of, cut that ego out. Because a lot of these guys are, starters at whatever their position is. And so you get the ego involved and, all that stuff right there. Like you said, special teams, you can have a great career. Special teams.
Well, sure, we could sit here and talk advice all night. We're going to quickly run through some news and notes and then sign off. Lots of honors going around the Big 12. Bear with me while I run down this list. Dayton Fix and Dustin Plott both won individual Big 12 titles last weekend. The wrestling team finished second in team standing at the Big 12 tournament. So yay, wrestlers. Caleb Boone and Musa Cisse were named to the All Big 12 teams. Boone named to All Big 12 third team, and Cisse was named to the All Big 12 defensive team for the second straight year. He is the first Cowboy to do that since Marcus Smart in 2014.
Marcus Smart.
Go Cs. Naomi Alnadas was named first team All Big 12 for the women's team. Moving on to baseball. both Nolan's earning some honors. Nolan McLean and Nolan Schubert. McLean, Big 12 Player of the Week. He batted like 500 this week. Two home runs,
sheesh,
a triple, six RBIs, four walks, plus a pair of saves on the mound. Like, okay, sure.
Wow.
3 for 3 on stolen bases. Also, okay, cool. Nolan Schubert, Big 12 Newcomer of the Week with a 4.44 batting average. Led Cowboys with nine RBIs, 2 homers, and a double. And then the first team to sweep Big 12 honors this week was softball. Lexi Kilfoyle earned Pitcher of the Week honors, recorded her first no-hitter of 2023 in a complete game win over Maine, the third no-hitter of her career, allowing only two walks and 11 strikeouts. All right, Lexi, welcome aboard. She transferred from Alabama after last season. And Mikayla Wark was named Player of the Week, led the conference batting average, 692 batting average, 9 for 13 from the plate, 9 RBIs, and 3 stolen bases, and had a perfect weekend at first base, recording 30 putouts and 0 errors. Plus, some love for men's tennis. Alex Garcia was also named Big 12 Player of the Week. So our spring sports are just like raking in the honors. Love to see it.
Yeah, we'd love to see all these people in the Olympics.
There's no wrestling in there?
I was. Dayton Six and Dustin Plott won Big 12 championships.
Oh, maybe I don't know the names. Okay, my bad.
Hey, who finished first in wrestling, by the way, in the Big 12?
Missouri.
Missouri did do Big 12 wrestling?
They're Big 12 for wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Big 12 wrestling's weird.
How does that's weird.
Yeah, the Big 12 wrestling conference, it's like it's different because not all Big 12 teams have
a wrestling rules, program.
So it's kind of a hodgepodge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Missouri.
Freaking Mizzou.
Who won. So we were close second, so that's exciting. Hopefully Dayton can finally get his national championship.
I was thinking it was Iowa State, but
was it Iowa State? I thought it was Missouri. I think Iowa State was in there. Big 12.
This is like this is like Joe Rogan. What's his name? The guy that researches stuff? Jamie.
Bro, I don't watch Joe Rogan, so I don't even.
You don't watch Joe Rogan?
Finished. Here we go.
It was Missouri,
Oklahoma State. Iowa State.
Oklahoma. Mm. Yeah. Similar colors.
See, this is how weird it gets. We have North Dakota State, South Dakota State.
In the Big 12?
Northern Iowa, Air Force, Northern Colorado, Wyoming, Utah Valley, West Virginia, and Cal Baptist. All those in the Big 12.
Yo, even I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. In the Big 12.
Yep, Big 12 wrestling is interesting.
That's a different conversation. Hardest
sport, for no, man, no. I will say that.
That's yeah.
Out I mean, of all like, the sports,
about right, as close to jujitsu, you know,
number one hardest sport.
Hardest sport.
Unless you go to a school where they have a swim and diving team, because they train all day long. Like it's actually crazy how hard swimmers and divers train. But that's another story for another day, for another episode.
Another episode we can debate which are the hardest sports to compete in.
Wrestling and swimming and diving are top two. I'm telling you right now.
I put gymnastics up there.
I'm just saying, like, I haven't been around swimming it. Or whatever, swimming, diving, and gymnastics, it's just one person. Like, wrestling is, like, you physically battling another person. So, man. I mean, I have to put it up there, like, number one.
Oh, I'm not arguing wrestling's not hard, but like,
we're gonna debate it.
Hold yourself out on a set of rings like this for
I bet you any wrestler on our wrestling team would be able to do that right now.
Oh, that's a debate. That is a debate right there.
What's a debate?
I'm not saying wrestling's not hard. I'm just adding gymnastics to this list. I'm not saying wrestling's not number one. I'm saying
it sounds like you're saying gymnastics is the hardest thing in the world. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, episode 30, we're having the debate.
Yeah, we have to, you guys have to have that debate. I really appreciate you all having me on. This is such an honor and pleasure. I have to check out the other episodes now. So I apologize, guys. But you guys are doing a wonderful job.
Well, how would you know, Shamil? You don't watch.
In this moment,
based on this last hour, you guys are amazing.
You guys
are crushing it.
I can't give it. I'm taking my flowers away. So I was trying to give you a little bit of flowers.
I'm trying to take them.
Okay, everyone besides Eve.
Okay, you know, fair.
You guys were great questions, great, you know, amazing. So I will check out the other episodes as well, and I will share with other people too. So, yeah, appreciate you guys.
And on that note, Shamil, thank you for joining us. And he's going to share and watch. And we suggest you all share, like, subscribe, comment, follow, all of the things, because we appreciate everyone who listens. Even if you're a first-time listener, we appreciate you stopping by, checking us out. So once again, Meg Robinson, joined by Eve and Justin, our special guest, Shamil. Nothing left to say, but go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.